I greet you this morning in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Also want to use the words that we find in 1 Peter 1, verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Good morning, everyone. And how I wish that this church would be full. Amazes me how we have taken it for granted for so many, many years. Having a church and being able to meet and without being disturbed. And today we have these other different situations in our life. Who would have thought? But we know that there's nothing that takes God by surprise, and we must seek to be faithful to Him. So I'd like to welcome you all. It is good to see you here. Welcome you in the parking lot and those that are going to be listening online. May God richly bless you as we look into the Word of God. Again, the Lord has been so gracious to us and has called us to the Lord's house, even though it's less, to worship Him. And not only to worship Him, but also it is for our spiritual growth. And how Deacon Cornelius said, how we need spiritual food in a time like this. I think sometimes we don't see the need that we really have. In 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 and 17, we read, and it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why? That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Paul emphasizes the preeminence of all scripture given by inspiration and how we need to heed the inspired word of God. And I trust that today we will hear from God. It is God breathed the word, told by God. The author of the Bible is God Himself. So we must recognize Scripture is true in all it affirms and its authority. It is for doctrine, meaning teaching, for reproof and conviction. It is not just a rebuke, it is a truth beyond dispute. That is what God's word is. It is for correction, it refers to setting something straight. And instructions refers to the process of training a child. Only one of these terms is directed to knowledge and information, and that is doctrine. And the other three are lists that involve a change of life. To study the scripture will make a believer complete, fully furnished unto all good works. And how we need the word of God. Paul emphasizes the link between the knowledge of God, God's word, and applying it to our everyday life. If we look at life, we can look back and we know what came our ways in the past. The joys, the blessings, the trials, the temptation, everything, when we look back, we know what life dealt us. But we don't know the future, but we know who holds the future. But it is very important that we, as brothers and sisters, be found faithful today. And so I trust, even though the past, maybe some experiences have been not so good, but I trust that we can all still come to God and be thankful. In 2 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God, concerning in Christ Jesus concerning you. Before we go into the text that I have chosen, the Lord has led me to Luke 5:11, 1 to 11. It is not the Sermon on the Mount. I was preaching on the Sermon on the Mount, but the Lord has led me to share this message that he shared with me. And Lord willing, we will continue on the Sermon on the Mount next time. But before we go into Luke 5, verse 1 to 11, let us all bow our heads, unite in a word of prayer, calling on an almighty God. Heavenly Father, we come into your presence. Hallowed is your name, and worthy of praise and honor and glory. Lord, we want to thank you today that you left us your word, that it is inspired by God, it is written by God, it is breathed by God, and that you loved us so much that you left us the precious word of God, that we can be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Lord, we thank you that the word of God is alive, it is real, it is powerful. We know that it convicts, it corrects, it teaches. It's where we find our doctrine, what we believe. And so, Heavenly Father, I pray today that you will inspire your servant through the Holy Spirit and through the Word. Lord, that he will be able to speak to your people in a way that will bring honor and glory to you, and also conviction, correction, and teaching, exactly what the Word was designed to do. Lord, we pray that you will turn. Allow the Holy Spirit to flow freely in this sanctuary through the Word, through the air. Wherever we are, wherever this Word is going to be heard, Lord, we humble ourselves before you, recognizing that it is you speaking through your servant. Lord, I pray that I will hide behind the cross and hold you in the forefront, Lord. We will humble ourselves in the eyes of an almighty God. We thank you, Lord, for hearing. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to read those 11 verses, Luke 5, verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass that as the apostle pressed upon him," Jesus, "to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them, and they were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down, and he taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answered and said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night, and we have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had thus done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus answered, Simon, fear not. From henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ship to land, they forsook all and followed him. Jesus, we see here, concerned about individuals. He preached to big crowds. We see here that the people were pressing him. I picture that he's there at the shore of the lake Gennesaret, or even we could say the Sea of Galilee, and he was standing there, and multitudes were pushing and thronging him to hear the word of God. And he spoke the word of God to them. And he spoke to big crowds, multitudes, because of the miracles that he had performed They wanted to see what Jesus had to say. And so Jesus was there with a big crowd, but I notice that he's concerned about individuals. His message is always to individuals. Yes, today he is speaking to you. Jesus, my friends, took time to help people personally, and Jesus noticed the two ships standing by the lake. When I think of verse 1, it says, "And came to pass, as the people pressed upon him, to hear the word of God." When I think of the word of God, we can take as God speaking to us. In John 7, verse 16, John 7, verse 16, it says, "And Jesus answered them and said, My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me." Jesus preaching there and teaching was not Jesus' words. It was who sent him. It was God the Father. So he noticed two ships. In verse 2, it says, "And he saw the two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets." Now just look at the picture. I don't know how many people would have been there, but it says a multitude. They pressed upon him. And then for Jesus to notice on the sideline, there's a ship standing there. And the fisherman is gone. I have no doubt in my mind, as I studied, that Jesus is seeing all you that are not in church. He notices each one of us, and he wants to help us. He knows our motive. I know at this time we are ordered from the government not to be here. But it is somewhat of a concern to me. Let's not become careless in all this. Very often, sometimes when things come our way, they become a habit, and later it'll be harder to come. But I want to encourage you today. Let's recognize today that we need fellowship. We need to be in the presence of each other. So he notices these two ships standing there by the lake, and he saw the fishermen. They were gone out of them. And he noticed that they were cleaning their nets. And he sees the individuals. And his purpose is that individuals will be transformed. He wants to transform them and then send them out to share the message of the gospel. We'll see in our text today. He wants to send you and me out to share the gospel of forgiveness, to share the gospel of life, of hope, of joy and peace and righteousness. And he wants us to share it with others. We find here a man who gave up on fishing for a day. He was a fisherman, obviously trained in his work. And he would have known all the techniques of how to fish and catch fish. Unlike me, I wouldn't necessarily know when is the best time to go fishing or where to go fishing, but Simon knew. It tells us here that Simon had gone fishing and had caught none. And was he giving up? And we can take from this our everyday life. Simon was working in his everyday life. and it wasn't so successful that day, and he, so to say, maybe gave up, because he says, we have caught nothing. All night and we've caught nothing. I see a little discouragement there, and I want to encourage us. God can use you in your everyday life, and he notices you, and he wants to use us. Little is much when God is in it, we sang. Jesus Christ gives warnings in the book of Revelations in chapter 2 to the church. He begins first the letter to the one at Ephesus by saying, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Thou hast left thy first love. Falling away, giving up. I want to read Luke 9, verse 56 to 62. In verse 56, Jesus says, for the Son of Man is not come to destroy man's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. And it came to pass that as they went into the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Lord, I'm going to follow you wherever you go. And I think he was ready too quickly. He hadn't counted the cost, because in verse 57 it says, and it came to pass, or in verse 58, and Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. In other words, to follow Jesus will cost you something. And in verse 59 it continues, and he said unto another, follow me. And he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. There was an excuse. First, I got to go bury my father before I follow you. And verse 60, Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go and bid farewell, which are at home at my house. Again, an excuse. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow, this is serious, and looking back, is not fit for the kingdom of God. When we have put our hand to the plow, following Christ and looking back, we are not fit for the kingdom of God. The people pressed upon Jesus to hear the word of God. To hear the word of God. They had a hunger for the word. And Jesus saw the ship standing by the lake. In verse 3, Jesus enters into the ship. It was Simon's ship, it says. And he asked Simon that he would thrust out a little. He wanted Simon to just launch, or just to thrust the ship away from the shore a little. And Simon was faithful. And then Jesus sat down and taught the people out of the ship the word of God. Peter was part of the audience. He sat in the ship, listening to the word of God as Jesus was teaching. And Jesus was preaching the word of God. Jesus did not have any notes or prepared for the sermon, but he preached God's word, what God wanted him to say, because he was all-knowing, all-seeing, and all-wise. Romans 10, verse 7, it says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Peter was there. He heard the word. The crowds heard the word. And we will see later the difference the word of God made in Peter's life, and how desperately we need to hear the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We must hear. Time and time again. Jesus was preparing Simon Peter. First he said, thrust out a little. And then Peter was there and he heard Jesus speak the word. And we know that in Proverbs 29, verse 18, it says, where the Bible says, where there is no vision, the people perish. And how desperately we need a vision. We need to have a goal, a purpose. It is difficult to keep our vision when we don't focus on the Word of God. We must be in and under the Word, or we will lose our vision. God gives each person a vision to accomplish something for the Lord. Maybe you have gone through times of wanting to serve God, where God would use you for something, but then the toil and the hardships of life. You said with Peter, we have toiled all night and we have taken nothing. Tired. Give up. Sometimes the toils and the battles of life come. If we aren't careful, they discourage us and they diminish our vision and to serve God. It can be pastors, it can be Sunday school teachers, youth leaders, song leaders, ushers. Whatever little is much when God is in it. When I think of us pastors, my heart aches that we can't do our job because of the restrictions. Visiting. Going, encouraging the sick. Yes, we have different means. We have phones. We have different, there's ways we can do. And yet, we need the assembling of ourselves together as we are to be together. We're not supposed to forsake that. I think of our Sunday school teachers. And I want to encourage you, Sunday school teachers, pray that God will give you a desire to come back and teach. Human nature always does well when things get easier. Let's not allow human nature to take over. Our youth leaders, or whatever your job is in the church, I want to encourage you, keep on working for the Lord. How many of you have had the thought to quit? Philippians 2, verse 5, Paul says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. We keep our mind and focused on the Lord, but when we keep focusing on the issues and the problems of life, we'll lose our vision. It says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. We must trust in the Lord. In a short time, we see here that Jesus had prepared Simon Peter to go be a fisher of men. Jesus took command of the ship and the crew. I believe Peter will have maybe been somewhat surprised because Jesus was a carpenter. Fishermen knew you caught fish at night in the Sea of Galilee in the shallow water and not in the daytime in the deep water, but Jesus asked him to do it different. In Luke 5, verse 5, it says, and Simon answered and said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night. We have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Nevertheless, at thy word. This word, nevertheless, has a great, great meaning or action that we need to remember. We must remember there was a great crowd watching from the shore. Verse 6 and 7, and when they had thus done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. How can this be? And they beckoned unto their partners. They called for their partners to come, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both ships, so that they began to sink. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Jesus said, go fishing. Here is a fisherman who had listened to the instructions of Jesus. I believe it is important, very important, that we listen to the instructions of God's word. Simon obeyed, and God blessed his obedience. Simon got out his net, and he put it down into the deep. And he didn't really think or expect anything in his net. We can hear that. Master, we have toiled all night, and we have taken nothing. We have worked, is what Peter was saying. And he was telling Jesus, we have worked all night. But here is the results of this of submission. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. When God says we must do something, we must do it. He told Peter to launch out into the deep and let down your net for a draught. For a draught means pulling a heavy load. Jesus told him, you're going to have a heavy load. So today he's telling us, launch out into the deep. And when they had thus done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their nets brake. God tells us, when God tells us to pray without ceasing, do it. When God says to repay evil with good, we must do it. Nevertheless, when God tells us to love your enemy, you may ask, how can I? We must say, nevertheless, you said it, I will do it. And so the list could go on and on. When we read it in God's word, we must do it, nevertheless. When the whole world says to do this, and if God's word tells us to do it differently, we must say, nevertheless, at thy word, we will do it. There is a renewed vision here with Simon, who had worked all night long, and he was probably tired. And after he listened to Jesus preach on the ship, he was excited. And I believe that's what the Word of God does. We get excited about what the Lord is doing. I'm just reminded of a young man who found the Lord. And I've shared parts of his story once before, but he tells me now he can't be quiet. He said, I can go on the plane, I can go wherever I go, and I can share the good news. I'm so excited. And so Simon, was excited because he heard the word of God. He listened to Jesus. When we look at the text, we see the results of submission. Nevertheless, at thy word. There's a huge teaching in that for us. We are so full of I. But that doesn't make any sense. God doesn't hear my prayer. Nevertheless, we need to submit to him. We need to surrender. In verse 11, it says, and when they had brought their ship to land, they forsook all and followed him. What are you and I doing? Followed him. Matthew 16, verse 24 to 26. Jesus speaking, he says, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up the cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man that profiteth if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in his glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. They were willing to follow Jesus. They got a renewed vision. And how we desperately need a new vision. They lost one vision and they found another. When we think of this portion of Scripture, I see discouragement. We have toiled all night long and we have gotten nothing. So with that, have you ever been in a rut and nothing seems to work, toiling and nothing worked? Let's look at what happens when Jesus gets into the ship. I believe Psalms 1, verse 1 to 6, is a beautiful illustration of that. When Jesus is on our side, in Psalms 1, verse 1, it says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. Is our delight in the law of the Lord? And his law doth he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree. This is what's going to happen. He will be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall also not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. There's nothing more exciting, more lasting, and more worthwhile than the cause to which God has called us, and we keep focused on Christ. God can use you. And I remember what Joshua said. He says, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. We can trust in that. In Hebrews 13, verse 15, it says, the Lord has promised to be with us and never leave us or forsake us. The disciples, they forsook and they followed him. And I believe the songwriter says it so well. And it's a song where the songwriter says, I have decided to follow Jesus. Oh, how desperately we need young boys and girls, young married couples, the middle age, the old age, to say, I have decided to follow Jesus. And the sooner we can do it, the better we are. So we have focus and vision for Christ. I recall so clearly, that song is so dear to me. As we grew up, we had youth. We called it Young People's at that time. And we, for a time, sang out of German songbooks, and all of a sudden, some pastor, the leadership, thought it would be better for our children, or our youth, to be able to sing some English songs. And I learned the song. I have decided to follow Jesus. And I remember being out on the job site, singing from all my heart, together with another young believer that was also attending the youth. It was Brother Martin Friesen. And we sang, I have decided to follow Jesus. It was so meaningful. And I just pray today that there will be young people making a decision for Christ. I believe it is so important that we purpose in our heart. Daniel, in Daniel 1 verse 8, he says, I have purposed in my heart not to defile myself. Make a decision. And I trust today, many have, but those that haven't, I would encourage you to make a decision for Christ. Jesus told Peter to launch out into the deep water, and let down your net. Peter was sure there was nothing to catch, but nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. That's walking by faith, believing the word of God. They caught many fish, and Peter was shocked, and they returned to shore with their boats almost sinking from the weight of the fish. Think of it. Here he's fishing, an experienced fisherman, and here Jesus tells him, go launch out into the deep and let your net down for a draught. Tells us there that Jesus is all-knowing, all-wise, and all-seeing, and we can trust him with our life. We see Peter in verse 8, and when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. And it says, for he was astonished, and all that were with him. Why was he astonished? He saw the natural miracle of God. It convinced Peter, as nothing else, that Jesus truly was the Lord. Also, seeing Jesus in a way that made Peter deeply aware of his own sinfulness. The presence of Jesus makes spiritual sensitive people recognize their lack and they're aware of how they deserve God's judgment. I believe as Jesus was standing here today, we would recognize our sinfulness, and we would recognize the holiness of God, and we would fall down at his feet, and we would worship him. Today, brothers and sisters, we have the same two choices as Peter faced. We can invite Jesus or tell him to leave us alone, or we can accept the invitation and become followers and fishers of men for him. That day on Galilee, the Lake Gennesaret, Peter and his friends made the right choice. I'll read verse 11 again. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Thrust out a little from the land, go into the deep. Obey Jesus. Today I'm encouraging you, launch out into the deep and let down your net for a draught. Renew your vision in what God has called you to be. Peter's faith began to grow because of what Jesus had done. And we see the miracles. We hear it, we read it, and we can hear them. And so we read of Peter in Matthew 14, verse 22 to 23. The disciples had been with Jesus for some time. They had seen many miracles, but one evening they found themselves trapped in a storm on the Sea of Galilee. They saw a figure walking on the water toward them. They thought it was a spirit. And then Jesus spoke to them, and Peter shouted out, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And Peter stepped out over the side of the boat on the water towards Jesus. And Peter took his eyes off Jesus, and he saw the wind and the storm, and it says he was afraid. I believe it is when we take our eyes off Jesus, when we take our eyes off the Word of God, we become afraid of doing what God asks us to do. We need to keep focus. We need to keep our vision. It says he was afraid and he began to sink. And that's the same that it will be with us in our spiritual life. We need to take a stand for Christ. But he cried out. He said, "Lord, save me." That's what we need. We need people of faith who are willing to step out into life storms and who are, even though they begin to sink, will quickly call on Jesus to save them. When I think of this story here, we see Simon Peter. He said to Jesus, I believe he was thinking, "I'm such a sinful man, and you're so holy." He said, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." But Jesus very quickly told him, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." Again, Jesus was there to comfort them. And Jesus, or Peter, makes a confession of faith in Jesus Christ, according to Matthew 16, verse 13. And I think it is very important for us to do the same, because the Word of God says it. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that the Son of Man am?" That is a question. Who do people say that Jesus is? And they said, "Some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." And he saith unto them, "But who do you say that I am?" Doesn't matter what others say who Jesus is, it matters what you say. He cares again about individuals, and he wants an answer. He said unto them, "But who say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." What is he to us today? Who do you say Jesus is? Launch out into the deep and let down your draught. Let down your nets for a draught. And we may very well feel like Simon. He answered, "Master, we have toiled all night and we have taken nothing." But nevertheless, today we need to take this home. "Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net." When I think of making a confession of faith, I believe it is so important that we say who Jesus is. Is he God's Son who came to seek and to save that which was lost? Is he Lord of your life? Romans 10, verse 10 says, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come into your presence this morning. We thank you for your grace and your mercy that is new every day. We thank you for portions of Scripture, for the whole Bible. But today you have spoken to us through Simon, the fisherman, and the others, and how they had fished all night and they got nothing. They were cleaning their nets and you were there with crowds of people. And today we recognize that you notice individuals. And there's people that feel nobody cares for them. Nobody knows about them. Yes, people let us down. But today we recognize that you saw those ships standing there empty. There was a mission for them. You gave them a renewed vision. You saw that the fishermen were not in their ship. So you noticed individuals. And we thank you for that. We thank you that you have created each one of us. You know all about us. You have promised never to leave us or forsake us. And so, Lord, I pray today that you will give us a renewed vision for you. Lord, we need it so desperately for the church. We need it desperately for the school, for the Sunday school, for the youth leaders and the youth program. Lord, I pray that we will continue to search your word, that we will listen to Jesus as he speaks to the crowds. We will recognize that he speaks to individuals. And you have said that you will build your church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And I believe that we believe that wholeheartedly that it is holds true today. But you, Lord, are looking for faithful men and women to launch out into the deep and to let down our nets for a draught. Lord, we recognize that we feel with Peter. We have worked all night and it looks impossible sometimes for us. Where we feel we've done nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, we will let down our net. We will take up our cross and we will follow you. We will forsake all and follow you, Lord. We will confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ unto salvation. Heavenly Father, I pray that you will give each one of us a renewed vision to do what you've called us to do, if it be great or small. We sang that beautiful song, little is much when God is in it. We aren't to labor for wealth or fame, but to be faithful to you. Lord, I pray that you will give the increase. May you instill in our hearts, through the Holy Spirit, the strength and the courage to be faithful to the word, like Peter was. Lord, we pray for us as church leadership, that we will be able to lead your people in a way that will bring honor and glory to you. Lord, that we will take a stand in a world, in a dark place, that we may shine as bright lights, brighter and brighter every day. And Lord, we today recognize we cannot do it without you. You tell us so clearly, without me, you can do nothing. Lord, we invite you into this fellowship. We invite you to be the shepherd of the leadership. Lord, we pray a special blessing, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, a new vision, renewed vision. Lord, that we will be able to lead and to shepherd your people. I pray, Lord, that you will use individuals. You encourage them through your word. that they will be able to fulfill their goal, their mission, that what you have called them to do in their life. We thank you for all those willing workers that are in the church. We pray a special blessing upon them, Lord. Let us not go weary in well-doing. Lord, we pray that you will use the life of Peter, Simon Peter, in the portion of Scripture today to encourage us to keeping on. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, song leaders, for singing that song. That's a song that's very dear to my heart. And I would trust that each one of us has made that decision. I have decided to follow Jesus. And if you haven't, the question is, will you decide now to follow Jesus? There's a time coming that we will meet Jesus face to face. And if we do not follow Jesus, if we do not accept him as our Lord and Savior in this life, we will be in everlasting condemnation, burning in hellfire. Will you decide now to follow Jesus? I want to close and leave you with the benediction that we find in Numbers 6, the last verses. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Thank you all for coming. You may depart in the peace of the Lord.